So let us receive Elder William Liverman, and more important, the message from the grace covenant, a grace contract that conveys to us our benefits in the gospel of the grace of God. Let us receive him at this time.
Grace and peace, everyone.
Amen.
Thank God for those that are here. Amen. Thank God for even those that may be on their way. Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness, grace, kindness, and love. We thank you, Lord, for the wondrous grace of God. Oh, God, we thank you for your word. Father, right now, we just thank you for allowing everyone to come here together one more time. Oh, God, we ask, Father, according to your will, that you will energize your word, Father. Oh, God, take us higher, higher into the depths of grace. Father, take us deeper, deeper in knowledge, understanding, and enlightenment to know that you are the author of all things and all things work by your decree. And, Father, right now, we thank you, Lord, for your people. Oh, God, we know many of your people going through many tests, trials, and tribulations, whatever they may be. But, Father, we ask that you would take the word according to your will, Father. Energize your word, Father, right now. Let all flesh be put aside. Let Christ be magnified. Let Christ be exalted. And Father, in every situation, let everything point to Christ and his finished work. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. And to you, Father, we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people of God say, in Jesus' name, amen, amen and amen. Thank God for, again, everyone here. And thank God for the word of God today. And by the way, are you excited about Jesus today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I mean, I, you know, that was kind of too low. Are you excited about Jesus today?
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. And you know, so last night, I think for Bear and Thule, all those Tigers hit those home runs. Everybody, hey, we can outshout Bear, right? Because when they lose, they're depressed. But we can always be enlightened and encouraged because we serve a great God. Amen. And as before we get started, let me say this. One thing I learned in the early days of working with Pastor Cutler, when the Lord led me here 12 years ago, is one thing that I learned. And first thing I say, you know, that was so simple. It made so much sense. So, you know, when ministers get up, we're going to call the scripture, call the text. Then we're going to exegete the text. Then we're going to explain what we've exegeted. And then I'm going to sit down. And I would always put, I know pastors, he mentioned, say, sit down. And I said, that makes sense. After a minister proclaimed the word, sit down. Because, see, when you start running off of the mouth, you say anything. I mean, even in the secular world, you notice President Obama, I notice whatever he's speaking on, whether it's guns or the budget or immigration, whatever he's speaking on, you know he's reading, he's looking up. Somebody said, what is he doing? He's reading. And after he reads the text, what does he do? He gets out of there. In other words, when you start ad-libbing, just saying stuff, what happens? Many times, years later, politicians, you know, get their feet in the mouth, right? They say, you said that? They said this. Why? They said things that what they were off script. But our script is the Word of God. And the Word of God is our guide. Amen? So right now, let every heart turn. Right now, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Deacon Elder Nicholson. Elder Nicholson is our designated reader today. Thank God, Elder Nicholson. Again, we're reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. And we're going to focus on verse 7, and then we're going to refer back to the other verses later. Amen. Again, Elder. And now we're going to read this in the interlinear, in the King James, and then we're going to also read this in the interlinear Greek. Amen. Again, let's begin, Elder Reed, please. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. Also, thank God I have some family and friends here today. Thank God for that. And we will acknowledge those that later after service. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank God for the Lord allowed them to come today. Amen. Verse 1 through 7. Elder.
For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, We have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven.
House which is from heaven. Okay, Ella?
If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked.
Mm-hmm.
For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of light.
Mm-hmm. Verse 5.
Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord.
Home in the body. A home in this what? Fleshly body. We are with God by decree. We've always been with Him. But in manifestation, in terms of our conscience there, this body, as long as we're in this physical body, conscious-wise, we're absent from the Lord. But what? By decree, we have always been with God. By the view of the sin. Amen? Now, verse 7 reads,
for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We walk by faith and not by sight. That's the essence of the subject area. We walk by faith and not by sight. Elder, I want you to go refer back to the, go to the interlinear Greek and read verse 7 in the interlinear Greek, because we're going to refer, later on, we can refer to the other verses as we move on in this and see what Paul is really saying exegesis-wise in those other verses, because he ties, it's very important to understand that the whole focus of what this contest is, God's people must learn to walk by faith and not by the way things appear. Verse 7 in the interlinear Greek.
Through faith, for we walk, not through appearance.
Through faith we walk, not through appearance. Now, if you're looking at this whole part of our gospel, our contract, as far as the faith walk, if you want to teach, in essence, God's people, if anyone, a minister, whoever, teaching faith, you have to begin with our gospel, our contract. What is that gospel? The mystery. What's the mystery? That revelation of the volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. Those 14 epistles. Now, this is where you get the essence, the information, you get more information here. It's a higher volume, a higher value rating, because you have more information. God revealed to the Apostle Paul more than the prior apostles. He revealed more to the Apostle Paul. Why? Because it's written, the epistles written by the Apostle Paul, they're written on a higher value rating in terms of information and knowledge. So that is why, church, if you really want to get the essence of what God is saying about faith, you need to begin in our gospel. Amen. So nothing I learned from Pastor Cutler. In other words, do not go outside the Bible, outside our gospel for doctrine. Now you can go outside our gospel for corroboration of things that you are referring to in our gospel. But to get the essence of what God is saying, you always begin with what? Those 14 epistles. Romans through Hebrews. Now, give me an example. Just a couple of days ago, there was a preacher. He went on to be the Lord, but he was preaching on faith. And he was struggling. And the reason he was struggling, he was over there in Genesis talking about Rahab, faith, and the Lord gave her, you know, she was by faith, you know, she did this, and all the other faith, you know, leaders. They were struggling because, number one, you have very little information during at that time. So where we have, in our gospel, we just have more information. So what did Paul say? What is the Lord saying about faith? First of all, you need to understand, and based upon what Deacon Elder Nixon just read, he mentioned about walking by faith and not by sight. And he also stated, if this tabernacle is what? Dissolved, we have a building with God made without hands. Now, another component of biblical interpretation. It's a threefold component. To really understand what does the Word of God say, you need to analyze what the historical aspect of Scripture, the contextual aspect, as well as the grammar. Now, in historical-wise, because we started with verse 5, verse 5 was really a continuation of what Paul says in the latter portion of verse 4, where he reads, the context in verse 7 is a continuation of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:18, where we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen.
We walk by faith, and what is faith? Looking at things that are not seen.
Amen.
Not things that are seen. God created all things through a saying. Amen. God said it. You only hear because God said it. God spoke it. But
Amen.
Somebody said, no, I'm here because I walked in here 30 minutes ago. No. Let's analyze this. You walked in 30 minutes ago was a manifestation of what God had decreed in eternity.
Amen.
But somebody said, well, I could have gotten up and I came to church. Well, there are a lot of people that may have decided in their mind to come to church today. I guarantee you, somewhere in the country, somewhere in the United States, someone had a flat tire. Someone got up, the car wouldn't start. Some crazy thing happened.
Amen.
Somebody said, why did it happen? It was there for a purpose. So you're only here because God has purposed you to be here.
Amen.
But it all begins, church, with salvation.
Amen.
And when you understand salvation, you understand the full essence of the workings of God.
Amen.
Now, Ellen Liverman mentioned last week in terms of, she always teases her because she loves Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Thank God, because that is the foundation of where it is, saints. In the beginning, look, God chose you, Ephesians 1. He chose you before the foundation of the world. You were already chosen, handpicked by God.
Amen.
You were not chosen because you joined a particular church. You were not chosen because you shook the preacher's hand. You were not chosen. No, in love, God chose you in eternity. But somebody said, well, I made a lot of mistakes. Wait a minute, let's look at mistakes. Who ever made mistakes? We've all made mistakes.
Amen.
So you made some mistakes yesterday. Somebody say, you're married? No, I don't. You breathing? We all make mistakes. That's part of life, church.
Amen.
But God did not choose you based on the mistakes. He knew every mistake, every problem that would occur in your life. He chose you because He loved you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He chose you by decree.
Amen.
And you couldn't do nothing about it. Somebody said, oh, I'm running from God. No, you're not running from God. God's already, you already picked. No, somebody said, you mean God has His hand on me? Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Already picked.
Amen.
That is why we all remember some of the crazy things. We all, if I ask everyone to raise your hand, do you remember a time where you could have been checked out of here? I mean, Lord, you could have been out of here, whether you did something, whatever. Everybody could raise a hand. Yes.
Amen.
Why are you still here? Because when you were moving in that matrix, and by the way, we, you know, passed for the past few months and teach on the matrix, it's nothing but a manifestation grid of God's eternal purpose. When you were moving, when your conscience was moving through that matrix, God said, no matter what's out there, my decree is that what? You're going to survive.
Amen.
And the same thing that you went through, the same experience, and one of your best friends or whoever, they had the same experience. They're out of here. And what? You're still here.
Amen.
It wasn't because you were smarter. It was because God's purpose was you to be here. And what God's purpose, what God's decree, it comes to pass.
I hear you.
Amen.
Now,
the problem is that we do not give God credit for being God. The great God of the universe created all things. And we, what? It's a way, you know, they're struggling through. Listen, everything is in God.
Amen.
In Colossians, it reads that everything was created by Him. Poor translation. Colossians, there reads, everything is in Him. The solar system, the galaxies, everything is in Him. And if everything is in Him, that means everything is controlled by Him.
Amen.
Everything that you go through, that you experience in life, church, is controlled by God.
Amen.
And it's focused in as we walk by faith. Notice the word walk.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes now. This word walk. And for those that's on the I know some ministers, maybe whether you may be in Pakistan, Africa, India, because we, our ministry goes worldwide, so a lot of times we have to preach from that platform because our ministry is just not in these four walls here. But there is a pastor who wrote a document some time ago called The Doctrine of Parapartiology. And as we walk through life, saints, our walk, it has to be a walk of faith. Because if your walk is governed by what's around you, what happens on a day-by-day basis, you're going to be frustrated and confused. But when it's a walk of faith, you can say, Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I don't know all the ins and about it, but I do know that you purposed me to have this experience, and I do know I'm walking by faith.
Amen.
That should be the attitude of a child of God. Now, in this doctrine of parapartiology, the most fundamental type of conveyance in the Apostle Paul's epistles entails the array of instructions and directives that are addressed to the Grace Church concerning the lifestyle of God's people. In this regard, the Greek verb pronunciation is rendered parapate, render walk, denotes the manner of one's conduct and mannerism of living as one moves through the course of life. The transliteration of this word into English is utilized when we realize that all of creation that exists in the sphere of time is parapate. As an adjective, this word pertains to one walking about or traveling from one place to another. As a noun, it depicts one who walks about, a pedestrian. The general inference is all that exists in time is transitional as a sojourn en route to a permanent state of possession. As this relates to the status of the child of God, it is documented in what is known as the doctrine of parapartiology, which is known as, what is that? It's the study of the believer's walk or journey through time as one moves to one's eternal destination. So as we move in time, by the way, for those that's listening to this message on the website, if you go to, or those by other mediums, if you go to gracegospelministry.com and you click on discourses, you should be able to put this document. Now, church, as we journey in life, our walk has to be a walk of faith. It cannot be a walk of what? What's around you, because what's around you would drive you crazy. What's around you would be up. What's around you would just, you just feel like, Lord, I can't go another day. You know why? You are looking at things as they pop up in the matrix.
I hear you.
But we are to look at, what did God say? God created all things by saying. Mm-hmm. What did God say?
Yes.
That should be our guiding focus. Now, the Apostle Paul, you know, God gave him the revelation of the mystery. God took him to the desert of Arabia and showed him, taught him some things that had never been before written. Time passed, never before. Now, you see, sometimes when you're looking at the leaders of the church, you know, we talk about Peter, James, John, the apostles, you know, we see that all of a sudden they were just superheroes overnight. No, they had their struggles, they had their problems, they had to walk in the light of what God revealed to them. And many times the Apostle Paul became discouraged. And one time was when the church at Corinth. Now, you know, this was a physical church. It was a church that was, man, they were involved in the signs and the move of God and the healings. They were all captivated by what was around them. They were all captivated by physicality. And I know when the Lord sent Paul to that church, in fact, we had communion just recently. And we know in the communion what happened. During the service where you bless the body and blood of the Lord, and during that time they turned the communion to a feast. In other words, they drank the wine, got drunk, and all these crazy things were happening in this church. And one time Paul was, no doubt, he said, I gotta get out of here. Have you thought about this? The church, for Paul's faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul had to get his eyes off what he saw. Because if he was basing his eyes on what he saw in this Corinthian church, ain't nobody saved. They're all lost. Lord, why do you send me here? But what did the Lord tell Paul? He said, be of good courage. Be of good cheer, Paul, for I have many people in this city that belongs to me. Many that God loves before the foundation of the world. In fact, in the passage being, what? God loved us in eternity. But somebody said, but look what they're doing. But look at what you did. We all what? See, if God governed our lives by the things, our mess ups, we're not glorifying mess ups. In fact, you don't have to glorify mess ups. That's part of life. Until God takes us out of this body, church, there will be what? Times we're going to miss the mark.
Amen.
But thank God, God's decree is already there. Now, the same church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, let's read this, elder. The church that were doing all these crazy things, brother suing the brother, they were, you name it, they were doing it. See, religion would say, Lord, send them all to hell. They're messing up, Lord. They don't belong. Oh, Lord. See, religion, these religious systems were quickly judged. But in spite of what they were doing, let's see what God had to say about this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. We'll read this in the, let's read this in the King James first, please.
O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged.
First Corinthians chapter 6.
First Corinthians? Okay.
First Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. First Corinthians. Notice. Now, the same. What was the sin? Idolatry. Fornication. Lying. Brother suing the brother. All these things, these are things that what? They saw, Paul saw. But what was the saying? God created all things by a saying. What did God say, elder?
But, and if she depart.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11.
Okay, here it is. And such were some of you.
Now, Paul, before he talked about all the lifestyle they were involved in, and he said, such were some of you. Keep going, elder.
But ye are washed.
Ye are washed.
Ye are sanctified.
You're sanctified.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Poor translation. In other words, the King James blew it. They had this. They had the workings of God in time. If you're looking at this in the interlinear Greek, it says aorist tense. Aorist. Past completed action. He said, ye were washed. Ye were sanctified. Ye were justified. Notice the most common church in Paul's writings. He's saying that ye were justified. Ye were washed. Ye were sanctified. Notice. Wait a minute. Somebody said, see what happened. Somebody said, I don't understand. On one hand, they were doing all this crazy stuff. And then on the other hand, Paul said, you were sanctified. And by that word sanctified, I can't speak for you, but in my Christian experience, I remember I went to this church. Have mercy. This mother, I mean, I guess she was the mother of the church. Every Sunday, I mean, she would have the dress on her on the floor. And she would look up, and she would just appear to be so what? Holy. And she would say, the problem with the church, the saints need to be sanctified. The saints need to be sanctified. So what was her definition of sanctified? She had it tied to physicality.
Amen.
No makeup. No lipstick, long dress, comb your hair once a week, and there you're sanctified. And the brothers say, yeah, this is amazing. The brothers love to pick on the ladies, and they pick on the ladies about jewelry and everything, and the brother, he's flashing his ring, his name suit, but he's what? Got the lady in bondage. No! Sanctification is a spiritual term. Sanctification only means set apart. When did God sanctify you? In eternity. When he loved you before the foundation of the world. At the same time, he sanctified you, he called you, he loved you. All the workings of salvation was all a component because he sanctified you. Sanctification is a spiritual term, not a physical term. Sanctification is what God did, not what you do. Now see, when you preach like this, people say, well, you know, y'all just give everybody a license to do anything. No, listen. When you learn grace, in fact, the grace recipient should have a motive to live a more disciplined life than the law recipient. Because all these, I mean, you can look at the law when God told Israel, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. What did they do? They did it anyway. But somebody said, well, God gave them the law. God meant for them to keep it. God gave them the law as God said, keep this law. Keep my commandments or you die. That was God's condition. But somebody said, why would God let them do something in the law when he knows they couldn't do it? Well, see, that's what God's people cannot differentiate conditions from intent. The condition of the law, do it or you're dead. And there's a lot of God's people trying to keep the law today. And I know for those of you, the giraffe, or for those of you that had those ribs and had been there, you know, trying to read over there Leviticus, what? Oh, the Bible says no pork. So I made a new rule in my family about a year. Everything that had P-O-R-K in it was history. Threw that fool away. Don't go. My daughter's laughing over there. She laughed. Don't go outside Paul's writings for doctrine. So July the 4th, I mean, those ribs smell so good. And I said, this ain't working. This ain't working, Pastor. I said, this ain't working. I mean, oh, Lord. Our gospel is a liberating gospel. No, our gospel tells us, whatever is before you, what? Eat. Amen. Eat in faith. But in the law, God knew they couldn't keep it, but the intent of the law was what? The purpose of the law was to give testimony to the fact that no one could keep it. That's why Jesus said, turn from the law. The Messianic kingdom gospel, in essence, the kingdom gospel, nobody can keep the law. Turn from the law to Christ. And that's the essence of the kingdom Messianic gospel. But in our gospel, grace goes deeper than even in the kingdom gospel, because grace is all focused on the eternal workings of God, what God has already done. In other words, the God of us. Why did the Apostle Paul say that the saints at Corinth were washed and sanctified when they were displaying all types of carnality? God's people must learn to separate actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. You were saved through a saying, in spite of what transpires in time. You were saved before God created time. Let me say that again. You were saved before God created time. When the doctor spat you, when you first said, the first cry you made, God already had you picked. Mm-hmm. Why? Before time. And so it goes further. It was before conception, you know, scientifically, when the egg, with the sperm comes together, you have a conceived child. But in the workings of God, it was before then. That concept, the egg and the what? Sperm, that's only a manifestation of what God had decreed for that life. God's decree goes back to eternity. It goes back to his saying. So the flames that manifest in time were placed there in eternity. Our conscience just hasn't caught up with it. A child of God can make the greatest thing a child of God can say or make is, Lord, teach me to walk by faith. Teach me not to look at things as they appear. Teach me to walk by faith. Have trust in what God said. So you know what? You can have two people that have the same experience and have totally two different outcomes. For example, and it happens. One child of God. It happens. On the matrix. Boom. Something pops up. One person lose a job, losing the health, lost his family, and it's like his whole world is collapsing. But God enables this person to look beyond what they see and say, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. I don't know all things, but God has an eternal purpose. I lost my house. There's an eternal purpose. I got divorced. There's an eternal purpose. Oh, my boss called me in, gave me this pink slip. There's an eternal purpose. It's like every day you wake up, crazy things pop up in the matrix.
I hear you.
Now, we understand Job, you know, everything, he lost his family, lost his kids, lost everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now we can look at it from ours, so we can go back in Job and teach that what Job went through was by purpose. It was God's purpose for Job, just like he's got a purpose for you. But somebody said, I don't understand these crazy things. Just walk by faith. Lord, teach me to walk by faith.
Amen.
So one person that had the same experience, God enables them to see things from the eternal view.
Amen.
Another person had the same experience. Lord, my world turned upside down, and they go out and get a shotgun and blow their head out. They have the same experience.
Amen.
Saw the same thing. No, it's not, they didn't see the same thing. You know why? Because one had the eye of faith, the other had the eye of what's around them. We cannot trust what we see.
Amen.
Our trust has to be, what did God say?
Amen.
And I don't care what you go through in life. God has a purpose for your life.
Amen.
You're only here because God has purposed you to be here.
Amen.
But somebody said, well, you know what? God ain't got no purpose for me. I tell you what, if God has no purpose for you, okay, we're going to plan your funeral right now because God can take you out of here. The fact that you're still breathing, you are breathing by purpose.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, Pastor Cutler tells all of us, when God, what, right now you're breathing, you trust God for the breath, and you breathe out. You breathe in, and you breathe out. When somebody says, what do you mean by purpose? I just breathe. No, that breathing's not automatic. God is causing you to breathe in
Amen.
And breathe
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
Breathe in
Amen.
And breathe out.
Amen.
When I went to see my mother 2 weeks ago, talked to a dear, my aunt, said a good friend of theirs, watching TV, loved the Lord, 85 years old. She was healthy. I mean, other than the high blood pressure, healthy. Driving, 85 years old, driving.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she was listening to Amazing Grace. And she said, Mama, daughter, Mama, how you doing? And just like this, Mom was in there listening. The Amazing Grace was playing when the Lord took her out of the time capsule. So that next breath was not guaranteed. God just said, okay, it's time. Your purpose has been fulfilled.
Amen.
So you are only here. So when you're looking at things this way, looking at things in the matrix, two people can see the same thing and have different results because it depends upon the angle that you're
Amen.
Looking.
Amen.
You know, we just had, for those, it's amazing, for those basketball fans, we just had, it's reported probably one of the greatest founders in basketball in the past 50 years when the Spurs played the Heat. And it was a game, was either six or seven games, where everybody said, oh, the Heat lost. They have lost this game. Those that were looking at the anger, it's no way the Heat can win this game. The people left the stadium. They were sightseers. No way. They just got out of there. And some of them were cursing LeBron James, oh, he messed up, doing all this crazy stuff, which people do as things pop up in the matrix. You was trying to figure things out. Oh, he messed up. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, LeBron started hitting those three-pointers, and this and that, Chris Brooks blocked the ball. All the sightseers trying to run in and get back in the stadium because they're walking by sight.
Amen.
But those that God called, they said, wait a minute, maybe there's a little hope. I'm going to stay in the game. Maybe there's a hope. The eye of faith looks at what God says. And right now, see, you can look at the matrix and you'll be told to mess up. Because now talk about this. Some of the slaves, they have money to burn. I'm talking the Spurs. I'm not even picking the Spurs. I'm making a point. They have money to burn, but if they don't understand eternal intent, they can 20 years from now, they can think, oh, we blew that game. No, you didn't. You blew it because it was God's purpose.
Amen.
The things that happen in our life, church, it's God's purpose. Now you can go back on some things that you experienced 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you can graduate from the Woulda Coulda Club. Oh, if I had done this, this would, no. It worked out the way it was purposed to work out.
Amen.
See, when you live this way, you're not anxious and trying to figure. You're not anxious trying to see if you are confused with salvation. Pastor said a thousand times, what do you believe about salvation? It translates down to your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that you contribute to your salvation, you feel that you're going to have to help not only yourself, but you got to help other gods. You got to help people out. I remember a good friend of mine, Glenn Plummer, who owns a Christian TV station. About 20 years ago, every time, you know, they say, it's the truth. In the month of December, God's people, many of them go through periods of depression. So what Glenn did, he asked me, to, I would go and pray, you know, answer the telephone for people that called in for prayer. And I pulled her in the TV lot, and this sister, I mean, she was almost running to the TV station. I couldn't figure it out. She was running. So what happened when I got up there, I was taking my time, and she was almost got irritable with me because I was taking my time. I mean, you know, as I sat down getting ready to answer the phone, she said, come on, Liverman, we have to hurry up. I said, wait a minute. I didn't understand what she was saying. Her point was that if I do not hurry and answer this phone and give sinners and leave them to the sinner's prayer, souls will drop in hell tonight. You see that cogitation? In other words, her thing was that if I have to, you're going to help God out. Now, we all depraved. You're going to help God out. You know what? I didn't know anything about eternal election. I didn't know anything about being chosen by God before the foundation of the world. But in my loving way, I said, sister, I'm going to tell you something. I said, look, I think God is big enough not to depend upon us rushing here to try to give somebody a sinner's prayer. I think our God is bigger than that. She got quiet on. But amen. Amen. So either way, so the directives for the church today is to what? Focus on what God said. What did God say? Now, many times, people, as you experience, I mean, we mentioned the document, the parapartiology. It is a walk of faith. And when part of God's process, do not confuse purpose with process. God's purpose is what he said. God's process is a day-by-day thing that we will go through.
Mm-hmm.
See, we just had graduation, the college students, right? And see, God's what? Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
See? Thank God. Since the college had a graduation, thank God. Guess what? There was already what? Purpose already for her to graduate from college. Mm-hmm. Now, guess what? Somebody said, but she had to study? Yeah. But study is what? Process. Study is important, but don't you depend upon studying. You can blow it and don't study 1 minute, get an A, and then one night you can burn your brains out and flunk. Somebody said, what's the difference? It's all process. Purpose. I'm sorry. It's all purpose. But everything is done by purpose. So, in walking with God, God will teach you to walk by faith. As you look at the eternal intent, what's God's purpose in this? And so when you pray, if God gives you the enlightenment, so you say, Lord, teach me to walk by faith. You really want God to answer that prayer? First of all, it's already been answered in eternity. But it's like husband and wife. They say, Lord, help us to have a better marriage. Well, amen. Amen. God, you know, depending upon his purpose, right? But many times, you say, Lord, help us to have a better marriage. God, through his purpose, may lead their marriage into a crisis. Because many times I've told the people that, you know what, we have grown close together after the husband may have gone through, let's say in a matrix, crazy things pop up. The husband looks at the wife and says, who are you? The wife looks at the husband, where you come from? Going through a trial, right? But as you journey and walk by faith, you look back and say, wow, we needed that experience. Whatever it may be. Because God is a God of purpose. So now, God knows, what is the revelation of the mystery? Walking in the volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul. The directive for today's church age is to focus on the 14 epistles written by the Apostle Paul, Hebrews, Romans through Hebrews. Paul's epistles answers questions that otherwise go unanswered apart from the revelation that God gave him. You see, the reason that somebody says, now let me say this, because sometimes people, They believe what they want to believe. The whole Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Genesis, do what? Revelation. It's the Word of God. Because when people, if you don't specify this, people think that you're saying the whole Bible is not, it's just Paul's epistles. No. Paul's epistles, these 14 epistles, just give you more information. Because you're looking at things from the what? Vertical view looking down, not the horizontal view looking around. Because many times answers cannot be trying to look around and trying to figure things out. So when you look at everything has an eternal purpose through eternal intent, it clarifies what's down, what we go through on a day-by-day basis. See? Like, for example, we just had, you know, I was thinking about this story, you know, we just celebrate July 4th. And we know how there's people barbecuing and they're eating, they're joining the family, and thank God for what? The freedoms that we have in this country. But I was thinking about this in terms of the information, our God's giving you more information. There was a report, some of you may have read it, it was a lady, 105 years old, in Florida. She lived in Florida. And so you know how it is when you live that age. People ask you, what's your secret to life? And I mentioned this when we had the health symposium. We discussed this issue when we had that health symposium last month. Said, what's your secret to life? Now, a lot of things, because, you know, 105 years old now. She said, my secret to longevity is that for the past 50 years, I've been eating 2 strips of bacon a day. Now, somebody said, what's the issue there? See, here's the problem. You cannot walk in another person's revelation. That was what God had for her. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody else said, and I guarantee you, knowing people, somebody's going to try to what? Shop on some bacon and try to do all this, eat all this bacon, and they're going to go to a doctor with their arms clogged up, and the doctor said, what's wrong with you? What are you eating? Doctor, I'm eating all this bacon. You mess your arteries with all this bacon. Right. So somebody said, she did it. No. That was God's purpose for her. That was the saying that God had for her, not you.
Right. Amen.
What does God say for you? It's through a saying. Everything is what? By a saying. Now, I'm going to, if you're looking at the Word of God, and how God speaks to us, everything we want by faith. Let me go back, and then I close. We have 15 minutes. I'm going to go back to the document, Parapatiology, in the next paragraph. It says here, and then I'll read another, give you another example. It says, in the vein that the Apostle Paul exhorts the saints at Ephesus, as he states Greek text, this is in the Greek text, you're reading Philippians 3:20-21 in the Greek text. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which ye were called. Paul very succinctly expresses the structure of God's principles working in the lives of his people. In Philippians 3:20, he states in the Greek text, for our place of citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change the body of our lowly state to conform to the body of his glory. According to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things to himself. Now, this document also reads, these verses, Philippians 3:10-19, chronicle the stimulus that forms the basis for the conveyance of this expression. Note in this verse, Paul's usage of the Greek phrase rendered to know him, or to the end to know him, as this articulate expression, his desire to know Christ, both intellectually and experimentally, through his daily walk. Paul's desire was to what? Know Christ through his daily experiences. Through what God would what? Give to him in time. Paul makes this statement in defining his passion to participate in the excellent knowledge of Christ as he demands the sacrifices he has exchanged for it. Verse 10 delineates Paul's supreme purpose in life, to have an intimate interpersonal relationship with Christ. Notice, his ultimate goal was to have an intimate personal relationship in Christ, with Christ. Most people say, what's your goal in life? Oh man, let me save this $1 million. Oh, what's your goal in life? Oh, let me get a house see, right now they don't say Bloomfield Hills. You know, now they say another, say Wabi. Oh, Wabi. And one day the priests start competing with each other, so they move from Palmer Woods to Bloomfield. So two men got in Bloomfield, so they had to go to what? Wabi. Everybody, wait a minute. What is the goal in life? is to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death. Thus, those who are believers in Christ have the privilege of being perfectly identified with him in his threefold aspect. In this sense, note that the Greek present participle, translated being conformed, is in the passive voice, expressing the Holy Spirit's role in molding and shaping the elect in conformance to the will of God. Hence, what is progressively manifested is that the Spirit of God actualizes the depiction of his conformance in the daily lives of the believer. Now, church, in our daily life, what's the significant in our daily life? The component that draws all this together is a life of walking by faith. What did God say? And if you focus on what did God say, because crazy things happen all the time. And I know, how many of you all had some crazy things happen this past month? You know, y'all been, you know, just there, right? That's part of life. But knowing what God said, what did God say, it drives you back to purpose. One of the examples, a good example of walking by faith, I'm thinking of this, and then close out on the scripture that ties everything back to what Deacon Elder Nicholson read earlier. In New York, in the 60s, there was a time when New York was almost out of control with gang and drug activity. And it was like gang murders, and the person that was leader in this gang was a young man named Nicky Cruz. And what happened was this. Nicky Cruz had such a reputation that even the police turned the other way. In other words, when you know it is, when they even came near to Nicky, they were threatened to kill the police white family. New York was this total fear with this situation, this gang activity. And it was almost like one day, it was like the Spirit of God. It was almost like God says, Nicky, I'm coming after you. It's time to give up the guns. Now, the natural mind would say, okay, God did not send the U.S. Marshals to do that. God did not send the artillery. He did not send the FBI, this chase shouting, okay, Nicky, come out with your hands up. It's time to give up the guns. What did God do? See, God does not, we don't look at things after the outward appearance. God sends a skinny country preacher from Pennsylvania named David Wilkerson. God told the preacher, what did God say? Go and help those young, go and help those gang members. See, get rid of them, Lord. Kill them. Wipe them off the planet. God said, go and help those gang members. What did we, in the pastor's pen? We knit it together with love. It's the love that draws you. So what happened? He goes to New York, leaves Pennsylvania. And you know, Nicky, the first encounter, he laughed at the preacher. Can you imagine? This old skinny preacher want to come and give me religion. So what happened? On the initial encounter, Nicky spits in the preacher's face, slaps the preacher. And it's interesting because as time moves on, to the preaching of the gospel, some gang members didn't want to sell drugs anymore. They didn't want to deal with, they got rid out of the gang activity. Nicky became desperate. One time he said, preacher, he pulled a switchblade and said, I'll kill you. And the preacher said, Nicky, notice God was teaching the preacher to walk by faith. In spite of all this crazy gang activity, all this crazy things, God was teaching the preacher to walk by faith. He said, Nicky, you can cut me up into 1,000 pieces, but every piece will say, Jesus loves you and I love you. So when Nicky's ear pride began to crumble, he got desperate. In other words, some gang members turned away. He said, Nicky's head thought he had a solution. I know, it's time to kill the preacher. So when he put a hit on the preacher, he put a hit to kill the preacher. And then what happened? The person that was going to provide the hit, God miraculously saved that person. So Nicky, in a spite of time, God moves his conscience in a frame that was already there. In spite of the killings, in spite of all the crazy things that were happening, Nicky belonged to Christ the whole time. Shootings! Rape! Murder! In fact, least, they, when God manifests his workings that was placed there in eternity, naked, call his gang members, and he said, come on guys, bring the guns, bring the guns. They call the police station and say, we're bringing in the guns. The police call everybody. They thought it was going to be a gunfight. Here the man was getting ready to surrender. But they thought it was going to be a gunfight. Why? Because they were looking in the matrix. But what did God say? Tell the preacher, go and help those boys. And in the conclusion of this example, we have to look, what did God say? Let's close on this. I'm going to close right where we started. We have 10 minutes. Close. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to close before we started. And by the way, while Elvis is looking at this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, the result of the power of what did God say? God said, go and help those boys. That was the foundation of a book right now, it's Cross and the Switchblade. Right now sold over 20 million copies. And in 2015, over 100 countries, the life of what? Walking by faith and not by sight. Now see, if you're looking at eternal intent, we're not lifting up a preacher or a gang member. Why? Because they only did that because they were called to do that. Now, a lot of times, people that don't understand eternal intent, I guarantee you there are probably some other preachers that did the same thing. God called them, and God said, okay, whether it's New York, wherever. God said, your purpose in this has been 5 years, and they what? God took them out of here. They died. Now, God kept them around right now, even to this day. The preacher, Wilkerson, passed away a couple of years ago in an accident. But Nicky Cruz, to this day, if you go to New York, to this day, you ask anyone that's probably in the 80s or 70s, 80 years old, do you know Nicky Cruz? And they say, oh yeah, that's the person God saved by the preacher. No, you know what? He was on the process. Nicky belonged to God in eternity, but what appeared on the matrix was totally opposite. We walk by faith and not by sight. In conclusion, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1.
For we know that if our earthly house, tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Eternal in the heavens. Now, read this in the, did you read this in the interlinear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that was King James Version.
You read this in the interlinear Greek, please, and then we'll close on this.
For we know that if the earthly of us house of the tabernacle is destroyed, a building of God we have, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens.
For those of you that have the King James, depending upon the version you have, they use the word dissolve. And the thing about it, that's a poor translation. Paul said, it says dissolve. You see, dissolve, there's a big difference in dissolve and destroy. Now I'm going to close on this. If you're looking at the word, why didn't they use the word destroy? It was too strong. See what happens, church. If you're looking at the word dissolve, you see, you know, in the context of this, Paul is talking about the human body. Why is it that he used in context now, you know, the threefold method, historical, contextual, and what, grammatical. Why in context, why does he use the body so much? Look at what are you dealing with? The Corinth church was a very physical church. They almost what? Glorified, worshiped the body, physicality. So when Paul talks about this body, they say, wait a minute, this is going to be one day dissolved. Wait a minute, it has to go further than that, because now, real quick, when I was teaching science, we had a concept called missing solutions. And what happened, they would take some salt and put it in a glass church, and what would happen? You miss the salt, and all of a sudden, I was pointing this up, there's clear water. I said, where's the salt? They said, it's there, but you can't see it. What happens in the area of science, you can take, in other words, that salt has been dissolved. Now they use the same word here. The body is going to be dissolved. But what they're saying is this. If you take what we call a centrifuge, A centrifuge is nothing but a machine that's a motor that goes around in a circle. Where if you take some test tubes, these little glass tubes, and put those in a centrifuge, what will happen? If you turn that in a period of time, all the salt that was there is going to go come back to the bottom. In other words, it was dissolved, but it wasn't destroyed. So in essence, through centrifugal force, that salt was still there. So what happened, they loved the body so much that they said, wait a minute, this body, it has to be dissolved and not destroyed. For in the original Greek, it states that the body is, where it says the word dissolved, it's an aorist subjunctive. Passive voice. Maybe having been destroyed, your body is already destroyed. You have already had your funeral. But somebody, what are you talking about? Whatever is out there is already is. What is has already occurred. You have already what? Died. But it just hasn't what? Caught up. It just hasn't manifested. Now this preaching, teaching is not going to fill the churches up. It's not going to fill the churches up. But it's a teaching that will bring you, will give you eternal security in the essence of what? Destroyed. In fact, another account, Paul says, one day we shall be changed. In the King James, poor translation, we shall be what? Exchanged. One day, we shall be what? Exchanged. What's going to God? God is going to one day change mortality to immortality. He's going to change corruption to incorruption. He's going to change physicality to spirituality. One day, one day, one day, we shall be not changed, but exchanged. Everything that we go through in life is going to be what? It's changed for our eternal abode that we have in Christ, that abode that have always been there. We're always there before the foundation of the world. And that's why we can have total security in the essence of our gospel, our contract, as we focus in a volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. Everyone in here should agree, should say that you, before you leave out of here, you will go to your grave proclaiming and believing that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.